Friday, December 8th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every weekday and talk sports with just a little bit of common sense. We are happy to have you with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it through another work week, and more importantly, well, at least to me, we have made it through the first full week of the Daily Dose truly being a daily show. Hey, before we get too much further, the feedback that we have gotten to us switching to a daily show has been tremendous. Thank you to all of you that have reached out. I've heard some really, really great feedback, and I appreciate it so much. A number of people have said they are loving listening to the show. Maybe it's going to or from work every day. Maybe it's in the gym. I know it's a little bit of a shorter show. I hope that you are enjoying it as we come to you every single weekday. We're enjoying spending more time each week with you, that's for sure. If you would like to contact us, and we would love to hear from you, you can hit us up on email at dailydosesports@gmail.com or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear what you have to say. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. You know, on Fridays, we will touch on some of the top stories of the day, but then we're going to look forward to what is coming over the weekend in sports. And then, of course, we will get to a very popular segment on the show, the Daily Dose Top 5. You know, sometimes it informs, sometimes it educates, sometimes it takes you back to yesteryear, and sometimes you lose a few brain cells. Either way, you always have to make sure that you tune in for the Daily Dose Top 5. First up, big game in the NFL last night as the New Orleans Saints went to Atlanta, and the Falcons somehow managed to keep their playoff hopes alive. Kind of a weird game, with Saints running back Alvin Kamara leaving early with a concussion, the odd ending to the first half where the Saints missed out on getting points, the penalty at the end of the game against Saints head coach Sean Payton. You know, Matt Ryan throws three interceptions and somehow still manages to make enough plays to get the win. I will give Atlanta this. They did limit the Saints running game, held them to just 50 yards on the ground, and that did pay off late. They were able to send those speedy pass rushers after Drew Brees. They got pressure on him late. Now, here's the one thing. I am not completely sure that I am as big on either the Falcons or the Saints as a lot of people are. And we'll see how things shape up down the stretch. But when I look at that NFC South, I don't know, I might be more of a believer in someone like Carolina than either one of these two teams. I do see some flaws there, and I see some flaws with the Saints' defense. I still see some flaws sometimes with the Falcons. Don't always like exactly what I see between these two teams. It's going to be interesting to see how the NFC South does shape up. The Falcons can still win this division. Saints let a big one get away last night. The Cleveland Browns are keeping head coach Hugh Jackson, and they have fired general manager Sashi Brown, who has been in charge of their player personnel for the past 2 years. The problem for Brown is he has just missed out on way too much talent. Like when you hear Hugh Jackson's record, he's won, what, like probably three games in like two seasons. I do think he can coach. He just needs some players. It looks like NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has been signed to a five-year contract extension worth $200 million. Now you might sit there and say, what is it that Goodell does to merit that kind of money? Well, basically, he gets to make kind of stupid decisions, and he gets to have people boo him, and he gets to be sworn at a lot, called an idiot all the time. Remember, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones did not want this to happen. So what did the owners do? Well, they just removed him from voting. That was pretty easy, wasn't it? Here, we thought Jerry Jones was going to sue. Jerry Jones was going to vote no. Jerry Jones was going to make this a big, difficult mess. No, hey, Jerry, you're just not going to vote here. That'll be the end of that. And we'll go ahead and keep Roger Goodell. Because here's the thing from the NFL owner's perspective. He goes out there and takes the bullets for them. Don't think that Roger Goodell is out there acting independently and doing whatever he wants. A lot of times he is doing what the NFL owners tell him to do. Can't get mad at him for doing what he's told to do. In college football, Tennessee finally has its head coach. No, it's not Chip Kelly. No. It isn't John Gruden. No, it's not Chuck Knoll or Bear Bryant. The Tennessee Volunteers made it official on Thursday, signing Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt. You know, I had heard the rumors on Wednesday that they may be getting Pruitt. Then again, I had also heard the rumors that they may be getting Greg Schiano. Wanted to hold up on that. So until something was official, I wasn't going to head down that path. Is Jeremy Pruitt a good hire? The people that I have heard from think that he was probably another year or two away, but when you're Tennessee, hey, you take what you can get. Our delusional award of the week is going to go to former Major League Baseball player Rafael Palmeiro, who says that he wants to return to baseball. No, not as a third base coach. No, not as a hitting instructor. Rafi says he is returning at the age of 53 to play baseball. Remember that this is the same guy that testified at a congressional hearing about steroids in baseball and said, and I quote, "Let me start by telling you this. I have never used steroids, period. I don't know how to say it any more clearly than that. Never." And then, like, right after that, he was suspended for using steroids. So rationale and balance might not be Rafael Palmeiro's strongest suit. You know, it's funny when you look at him at 53, like, think of a guy like Ichiro, who was in his early 40s, and you were starting to see him slow down. Like, he didn't have the bat speed. He didn't have the leg speed. Like, could Rafael Palmeiro, like, if he hit a triple, could he get to first? I don't think so. So the body slows down. Again, Father Time is undefeated. Okay, enough of the most recent news coming out. Let's move on to our weekend preview. You know, the college football regular season is nearly over, but we do still have a number of things to watch this weekend as you try to avoid going to the malls and doing that holiday shopping that you've been putting off that you know you need to get done. Keep putting that stuff off. There's some things to watch. Watch sports all weekend and just do your shopping over on lootcrate.com/dailydose. You see what I did there? Either way, there are some good things to watch. I'm going to walk you through a few of the events you may want to tune in for. Okay, let's start things off on Friday night. It might sound a little crazy, but there is a college basketball game that might be worth your time. It's a battle of top 25 teams if you want to tune in for some college hoops. Number 22, Nevada, goes to number 20, TCU. Now, Nevada is 8-1, and TCU is actually undefeated. Both of these teams can score some serious points. Nevada head coach Eric Musselman, he is one of the most underrated coaches in the country. And Jamie Dixon, you'll remember him when he was out at Pitt. He is now at TCU. He has the Horned Frogs looking like they might be a pretty solid contender come spring. Nevada versus TCU, a much better game than you might think. Okay, maybe you're not in the mood for college hoops on Friday night. Maybe you'd rather watch the NBA. Here is a really, really good matchup for you on Friday night. The San Antonio Spurs are getting balanced scoring from LaMarcus Aldridge, Rudy Gay, Pau Gasol, and Danny Green. And Kawhi Leonard still hasn't even played yet this year. Meanwhile, visiting them will be the Boston Celtics, who have the best record in the NBA, and they're getting really solid contributions from young players like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. This should be a great way to spend your Friday night. So if you don't want to go out Friday night, or maybe you're hanging out at the house, or you're hanging around at the bar, Boston at San Antonio? That's not bad. That's a pretty good matchup for an early season NBA game. Now, on Saturday, we don't have the huge full slate of college football games. But we do have one game that you should tune in for. And I know, I hype this game here on the Daily Dose every single year. But I'm telling you, tune in for this game. I don't care if you don't even follow football. It's worth watching. And it doesn't matter if you have an affiliation with either one of these teams. Hey, these kids aren't going on to play professional football. In fact, college football is the easiest part of their day because these guys are getting ready for something way, way more serious in life. But there is no bigger football game to them than this one. And the best part is that this season in the Army-Navy game, there is actually a ton on the line. Army is actually 8-3. They've already beaten Air Force. Navy is only 6-5, but they have also beaten Air Force. So the winner of this game gets the coveted Commander-in-Chief's trophy presented to the top military academy. Army hasn't won the Commanders-in-Chief Trophy since 1996, and they have a great chance on Saturday. They are the favored team, as bizarre as that seems. Because for years, they couldn't beat Navy. And for years, they struggled to even put a competitive team out on the field. This year, they're pretty solid. Now, again, and I know I've said this on the Dose before, if you haven't read John Feinstein's book, A Civil War, it goes through and breaks down just how much this game means to both sides. I encourage you to find that book and read it. It is so, so, so good. There are so many traditions in the Army-Navy game, you might not even be aware of all the traditions that are involved in this game. Here's a few traditions that come out of the Army-Navy game. Did you know that the game actually begins with a prisoner exchange?
What?
Might not have known that. Now, it isn't quite as bad as that might sound, but during the fall semester, West Point and the Naval Academy swap some of their students as kind of an exchange program so that each side can kind of see what the other goes through. Gives them a little bit of more respect, gives them a better understanding of what each of the respective branches of the military do. During the Army-Navy game, those who have been experiencing the culture of the other side, they have kind of a ceremony where they cross the field and are released back to their alma mater and their friends. Prisoner exchange? Might not have known about that in the Army-Navy game. You might not have known that both sides, prior to the game, release spirit videos, and they are produced by the students, and a lot of them are pretty funny. Now, some of them will get serious, some of them will get like kind of intense, but some of them are pretty funny and pretty smart. If you go search Army-Navy spirit videos, you will see everything from War Tuba's attack to Star Wars Navy. These are not the midshipmen you were looking for. I mean, they have some really good stuff, some really creative stuff from the cadets and from the midshipmen. Go check that out over on YouTube. The spirit videos have become kind of a big thing in the Army-Navy game. March on. You might not be aware of March on. You know, both sides send their entire student bodies to the game. The game is held in Philadelphia. And both Army and Navy send their entire student bodies to it. And before the game starts, nearly 9,000 of these kids march onto the field. It is some impressive stuff from some very impressive, impressive kids. And then the goal of this game, the ultimate goal in this game, is to make sure that you sing second. Because the service academies understand that there are bigger things in life than football. The tradition of honoring the fallen helps to engender respect for the losing side. So after the game ends, the winners of the game join the other team and sing the defeated team's alma mater together with the fans. Now here's the key. You sing the losing alma mater first. The goal for both teams is always, always the same. When we go out on the field today, sing second. Look, I know it isn't two big name college football programs. I realize that. These are not top ranked teams. But I'm telling you, if you watch the Army-Navy game on Saturday, you will say to yourself, hey, if our country is in the hands of these kids eventually, yeah, we're going to be fine. Watch Army-Navy. It will be well worth your time. That is Saturday at 1 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. Telling you, Army-Navy game always makes you feel good about what we have going on in this country. Saturday afternoon, following that game, you might want to tune in for some college hoops. Number 5, Florida at number 17, Cincinnati. You know, the Florida Gators, we talked a little bit about them with Russ McKinstry. They started off 5-0, including a pretty big win over Gonzaga. But since they lost to number 1 Duke last week, they are struggling. They have lost 3 in a row. On Wednesday night, when they lost to Loyola Chicago, they struggle to shoot against the zone. And that's really, really bad news because Cincinnati is a pretty good defensive team. They're also coming off of a loss to Xavier. And these are two tournament teams, and they both need a win. So I'm telling you, Saturday afternoon, not a whole lot on. Florida at Cincinnati should be worth your time. And then Saturday early evening, I think it's around 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, we have the Heisman Trophy presentation. Okay, we already know that Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield is going to win this, right? Like, we knew this back when I called it in August. But on Saturday, it will be made official. Okay, so why in the world would we waste our time tuning in to see something? We already know who's going to win the award, right? Baker Mayfield's the guy. He's winning the award. Why would we tune in? I'm going to tell you why you should tune in. Because who among us really knows what in the world Baker Mayfield is going to do? Like, that kid is just a tad off. Amazing football player. I would take him on my team in a minute. But he's a dude that could do something crazy on Saturday night. So you might want to tune in and check it out. See what Baker Mayfield has going on Saturday. Might be worth your time. All right, let's move forward to Sunday. So maybe on Sunday, you want a break from the NFL. At noon on Mountain Standard Time, you could watch a decent college basketball game. Bobby Hurley's Arizona State squad, which is undefeated, goes into Fog Allen Fieldhouse to play Kansas. The Jayhawks are coming off of a loss on Wednesday night to Washington. Pretty good early season game. Okay, and now we get into the NFL games. We actually, I'm not saying these are all must-see, but there are some pretty good matchups this week in the NFL. First game up. Who would have thought that a few weeks ago, Oakland going to Kansas City would be for first place in the AFC West? Okay, it isn't like it's a good race, to be completely fair. It feels more like a race where both teams like have broken their ankles and are struggling and are dragging their bodies, and we just want to see who's going to crawl across the finish line. But if you're a Raiders fan, if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a fan of like ugly, kind of bad football, if you're a sadist, I mean, watch the Oakland-Kansas City game. That's going to be 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Another early game. I know, the Dallas Cowboys are 6-6. They're pushing for the playoffs. Meanwhile, the New York Giants are hot garbage that just got their head coach fired. But couldn't you just see the Giants coming out, playing hard, now that Eli's back starting and Ben McAdoo has been fired? Plus, I mean, is Dallas really that good of a team? Like, are we looking at Dallas and being like, okay, the Giants can't hang with them? I don't know if Dallas is that tough anyways. I mean, Dallas did lose to Denver earlier this year, right? So I'm going to go ahead and say, no, they're not that great of a team. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants hang with them a little bit on Sunday morning. Okay, now let's get to the good games. Sunday, 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, Minnesota goes to Carolina. Now, currently, the Minnesota Vikings are the number one seed in the NFC. And the Carolina Panthers are the number six seed. Minnesota needs a win on Sunday to stay ahead of Philly for the top seed in the NFC. And they can also clinch the NFC North with a win. Carolina has to win to stay in the playoff picture because Atlanta, Detroit, and don't sleep on the Green Bay Packers just yet. They're not too far back. There are rumors Aaron Rodgers could come back. If you like defense, Minnesota at Carolina Sunday morning should be a good one. Here's another good one. It's the later game, 2:25. The Philadelphia Eagles go to the Los Angeles Rams. Philadelphia has another visit this week to the West Coast, and they just got beat by Seattle last Sunday. A win clinches the NFC East for the Eagles. Meanwhile, the Rams have to try to stay ahead of Seattle. And one knock on the Rams is that they have struggled to beat the big dogs in the NFC. They've already lost to Seattle. They've already lost to Minnesota. This is actually kind of a must-see TV game. Philadelphia at Los Angeles, well worth your time to tune in for. Another late game, not too bad. Seattle's offense is getting better. And it's mostly because Russell Wilson is just running around and making plays. I still think Russell Wilson deserves some consideration for MVP of the league. He is playing that well. Meanwhile, on the other side, the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is very good, but they do still have Blake Bortles at quarterback. Seattle at Jacksonville, not a bad game. I don't know if it'll be a great game, but not bad. Both teams need a win. The Sunday night game this week, again, we'll see how it ends up. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be without Ryan Shazier. And he is now undergoing some sort of surgery. It doesn't sound great that he's going to return. You know, Ryan Shazier is the leading tackler for the Steelers. They will also be without Juju Smith-Schuster after the hit that he had against Cincinnati Bengals. Pittsburgh really needs to beat the Ravens, though, to stay up on New England, who they face next week. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens are playing for their playoff lives. Might be a decent game on Sunday night. Mostly because we know that the Steelers play to whatever level their competition is, right? So there you go. You got a number of things to watch this weekend. A lot of pretty solid sporting events to tune in for. I know you have things to do. I know you have holiday shopping to do. Maybe you still need to get the house ready and get the tree ready and get the lights outside on and all those things. Or, you know, you could just sit on the couch, eat, drink, and watch a lot of sports. Hey, coming back, we will get to our Daily Dose Top 5. The Heisman Trophy is going to be handed out this weekend, and we all know who's getting it. We just talked about it. But while we have a million cases of guys who have won the Heisman and then done nothing in the NFL, what about those other guys? There aren't very many of those other guys. Hey, just a quick reminder, make sure that you do any of that holiday shopping you need to get done over at lootcrate.com/dailydose. They've got all of the latest pop culture collections featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is called Explore. It contains items from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Destiny. Loot Crate has a number of other crates you can subscribe to, and they have items from just about every franchise that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, make sure you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box, DALYDOSE. We will get you 10% off of your order. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, there are a million examples of Heisman winners that went on, well, to never really do anything in the NFL. I mean, guys like Eric Crouch and Gino Toretta and Jason White and Andre Ware, and the list goes on and on and on. But what about those players that did win the Heisman and then went on to even more NFL success? Do you realize that out of 79 Heisman Trophy winners, just 8 of them have gone on to make it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Now you may ask me, Clint, how can you turn 8 players into 5 players for the top 5? Well, for one, I mean, it's my show. I'll do whatever I want, and I will thank you to stop questioning me. Two, I will mention that those other 3 guys right now, I'll tell you why they didn't make my list. Okay? So I'm going to give 3, I guess, kind of honorable mentions. SMU running back Doak Walker, very solid player, long before my time. Think he played back in the Civil War era. I don't have any idea how Doak Walker was. I can read some things, never saw him play. So we'll put him in the kind of honorable mention thing. Notre Dame running back Paul Hornung. He also won the Heisman, went on to the Hall of Fame. Also possibly a racist and perhaps involved in some sort of criminal element. Got him suspended for nearly a year from the NFL. So we'll put Paul Hornung off to the side. And then finally, O.J. Simpson, running back from USC, also in the Hall of Fame. We won't put him in because he murders people. So we're not going to put him in. Now we get on to the Daily Dose top 5 Heisman winners that went on to have the best NFL careers. Number 5 on our list. 5. You know, he rushed for nearly 2,000 yards back in 1977, and he won the Heisman while at the University of Texas. And then the big, powerful running back got to stay in the Lone Star State and play some very good seasons for the Houston Oilers. You know, the Oilers beat my Broncos a few times, but you had to love those Love Ya Blue teams. Remember, they had Big Earl Campbell, Dan Pastorini, Kenny Burrow, Mike Renfro, Mike Barber. You know, Earl Campbell only played probably 5 really highly productive seasons in the NFL. But man, was Earl Campbell dominant. For his career, he ran for over 9,000 yards. And the biggest thing with Earl Campbell, well, were his thighs. But the biggest thing with Earl Campbell, you could see defenders come to Earl Campbell and they just didn't want to touch him. Like they wanted nothing to do to him. You saw a lot of guys grabbing his arms, grabbing his shoulders, grabbing his jersey. They didn't want to come up and make contact with the man because he was too big, too fast, too strong. Earl Campbell was elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1991. Pretty good career after winning the Heisman back in 1977. Moving on to number 4. You know, he won the Heisman just the year before Campbell did. He was named to the All-American team in his freshman season, becoming the first freshman to be named to the All-American team in 29 years. Then as a senior, he racked up 290 yards in a single game against Notre Dame, and Pitt knocked off the Fighting Irish And then Pitt went on to win the national championship. After winning the Heisman Trophy, Tony Dorsett was selected by the Dallas Cowboys with the second pick of the draft, and he proved to be exactly what the Cowboys offense needed. They won the Super Bowl in his rookie season, and Dorsett went on to a highly successful 12-year career, went on to the Hall of Fame. And if you ever saw Tony Dorsett run fast enough to pull away, you remember the 99-yard run that he had on Monday Night Football. But if you ever saw Dorsett run, you saw those eyes. And his eyes got as big as dinner plates. And that vision, I really do think, is what made him so great. Tony Dorsett comes in at number four. Number three on our list. Another Southern California running back. Except for, I don't think this guy actually killed anyone. And I don't know if there has ever been as versatile as a running back as our number three entry, because Marcus Allen has the distinction of being the only player to have won the Heisman Trophy, a national championship, the Super Bowl, be named the NFL MVP, and be named the Super Bowl MVP. As good as he was at catching the ball out of the backfield, as good as he was at reversing his field and just making guys miss, Marcus Allen was one of the best ever at finding the end zone in short yardage situations. He won the Heisman in 81 after rushing for over 2,000 yards. And then he played in the NFL for 16 seasons. He scored an incredible 95 touchdowns. If you had the ball near the goal line, give it to Marcus Allen, because he was going to get into the end zone. He comes in at number three. Number two on our list. You know, he put together what may have been the greatest single season in college football history. Because when Barry Sanders compiled 42 touchdowns in just 12 games, he won the Heisman in 1988 while at Oklahoma State. And then he went on to the NFL and became one of the greatest running backs in league history. You know, Barry Sanders might have been the single most elusive back to ever play. You couldn't get a clean shot at him. And despite the fact that he played on those awful Detroit Lions teams, he still went to 10 Pro Bowls. He led the league in rushing four different times. Remember, he retired abruptly in 1998 after compiling over 15,000 rushing yards and scoring 99 touchdowns. Barry Sanders was absolutely electric in college. He was absolutely electric in the NFL. One of the greatest careers ever, especially for guys that won the Heisman. So then who could be the number one guy? Who could be the Heisman winner that went on to the best NFL career ever? Actually, it's a guy that is one of the winningest quarterbacks statistically ever. And a guy whose alma mater will be playing tomorrow in the Army-Navy game. Because as a junior, he led Navy to the national championship game after they somehow beat Notre Dame. Granted, they lost to Texas in the big game. But then Roger Staubach came back for his senior year and won the Heisman. Are you kidding me? A guy from Navy winning the Heisman? He won it in 1963. He finished out his naval career and then joined the Dallas Cowboys in 1968. And Staubach would be the first player to win the Heisman and the Super Bowl MVP. Three other guys have done it since then. He was the first. He would go on to win two Super Bowls and be elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Roger Staubach went 85-29. As a starter. That is winning 75% of the games that you start. Captain Comeback is our Heisman winner that went on to the best NFL career. You know, the one thing that stood out to me as I made this list, there are only the eight players that have gone from Heisman to Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? Notice how many of them are not quarterbacks, but running backs. Hey, it is Friday, kids. I hope that you have enjoyed our first full week of the new Daily Dose as we bring you a new show every single weekday. We will get after it again next week. Hey, be sure that you go over to ESPN.com and enter the Capital One Bowl Mania Pick'em Challenge. Find the group Daily Dose Podcast and compete against me and friends of the Daily Dose to see who can pick the most bowl games correctly. Winner gets bragging rights. So come on, bring it. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the show, for sharing the show. I appreciate you being here every single weekday. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Enjoy the weekend. We will see you all on Monday.